This morning, we're discussing Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila, Chapter 8, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai, page text number 78. 72? They changed it to 78. I got a note that said 78. Seriously, I mean, I got a note from Sri Gauranga that they changed the verses. Isn't it? It's conversations between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. And I do seem to remember that last week Dinabandhu was giving class on Saturday, so there was probably some irregularity, but... Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Well, the subject matter that I had prepared to speak on would cover those verses anyway. So hopefully it will be to satisfaction of the assembled Vaishnavas. But let's chant together text number 78. I'll do the word meanings here. Na not imam, this love of God, head. Rodincha, Lord Brahma, na not. Bhava, Lord Shiva, Na Nor, Shri, the goddess of fortune, Api, even, Anga, on the chest of Vishnu, Shamsraya, who is sheltered, Vishadam, favor, Vebire, have obtained, Gopi, Mother Yashoda, Yat, which, Tat, that, Prapa, obtained, Vimukti, dat, from the person who gives liberation. Nimam varincho nimam varincho na bhavo na shriyap yanga samshaya prasaram vibire gopi yat tat papa prapa vimut Vimuktidat Nemam Virincho Nabhavo Na Shri Apyanga Samshaya Prasadam Libire Gopi Yat Tat Prapa Vimuktidat Nemam Virincho Nabhavo Na Shri Apyanga Samshraya Prasadam Libire Gopi Yat Tat Prapa Vimukti Dat
Amen.
Ladies? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, C.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The favor Mother Yashoda obtained from Sri Krishna, the bestower of liberation, was never obtained even by Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva, nor even by the Goddess of Fortune, who always remains in the chest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Purport. This is a statement from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.9.20. Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda after she had given up trying to bind Krishna with ropes. This is another appreciation made by Shukadeva Goswami in his narration of the pastimes of Krishna before Maharaj Parikshit. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasman Sri Gurave Namaha. So we're continuing hearing the discussion between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Ramananda Rai. Very confidential discussion, in which many things are being revealed for the first time. Particularly concerning the confidential loving affairs between Krishna and the residents of Sri Vrindavan Dham. In the preceding verses, there were descriptions of the Sakya Ras, a little bit about Dashiras, and now Vatsalyaras. Parental affection is being presented to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu after he's inquiring, what more can you say? How can you develop this topic further? And so now Ramananda Rai replies with this verse describing Mother Yashoda's extreme fortune in relation to her loving affairs with Sri Krishna. Now, it's a curious statement in the purport that Krishna agreed to be bound by Mother Yashoda after she had given up trying to bind Krishna with ropes. And so we know that Mother Yashoda did bind up Krishna. But here it's saying that she gave up the attempt to bind him with ropes. So then how did she bind him? What was the agency by which she was actually able to bind Krishna? It wasn't by the ropes or her endeavor, but it was by something else that she possessed. Something that she possessed, which, as described here in the purport, Lord Brahma didn't possess, Lord Shiva didn't possess, even Lakshmi Devi, the Goddess of Fortune, she didn't possess this thing. Lord Brahma, he's the head of our sampradaya. Obviously, learned, accomplished, pure, dedicated, any adjective you want to add to Lord Brahma's glorification can be put there. But not even he had obtained what Mother Yashoda had obtained. Neither Lord Shiva, Vaishnavam Yata Shambhu. He's the greatest of the Vaishnavas. But he can't be compared to Mother Yashoda. And neither can Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, who's always there on the chest of the Lord. Even she didn't. So what is it that these great devotees didn't have that Mother Yashoda had, which allowed her to bind him, not with ropes, but after giving up the endeavor to try to bind him with ropes? What is it that she possessed? Obviously, it's something very special. If these other great devotees didn't possess that quality. Well, that's what we want to discuss a little bit here today. What was that special quality that that Mother Yashoda had? And there's one word which describes it, and that word is mamata, a possessiveness. Mamata, possessiveness. She had a possessiveness of thinking that Krishna is my child. In the previous verses, it described, as I said, the Sakyaras and the cowherd boys who exemplify that type of attraction for Krishna. They were thinking, Krishna is my friend. They had a possessiveness, a mamata, in this regard. Now, we have some familiarity with mamata that we can use to try to get a glimpse of what the special quality is in relation to Krishna. Because a lot of times in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll find that this word mamata is used for thinking that I'm the body, aham mameti. We think that I'm the body, and we think that the bodily extensions are mine. My wife, my children, my car. We have this idea of possessiveness, that we possess these things. And as I'm sure, maybe you haven't experienced, but I know I experience, sometimes that goes really deep, you know. Well, wait a minute, that's mine. Don't take that. You can't take that. We were at the Sadhu Sangha retreat in Austin earlier this year, and another devotee had the exact same shoes as I did. And he took my shoes. I was so disturbed, you know. I was going around for like half the time we were there. Somebody took my shoes! So this mamata, it's sometimes manifest in the material world, so we get some idea about it. But when it's in relation to Krishna, obviously it's a spiritual emotion, a spiritual attachment, that hopefully becomes very, very strong. Obviously in Mother Yashoda, it became very, very strong. She's thinking Krishna is my child. She's thinking that if I don't feed Krishna, my child, he's going to die. She was thinking, you know, very absorbed in this loving relationship with Krishna. So that special quality of this possessiveness is what makes the difference, is what places Mother Yashoda above Lord Brahma, above Lord Shiva, above even the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji. And we say above, and indeed this whole discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, in one sense is progressing, like better, Dinabandhu said last week, better, best, and bester, or something like that. Bestest. Right. So, in one sense, it's progressing like that. But in another sense, I mean, that's sort of almost like a material way of looking at it. It's not like the Cowherd boys are thinking that Mother Yashoda is better than them or something like that, or that Mother Yashoda is thinking the gopis are better than her. So it doesn't progress like that in terms of the attachment to Krishna, because whether one is thinking that Krishna is my master, Krishna is my friend, Krishna is my child, Krishna is my lover, whatever that possessive feeling is, it's completely satisfying to the devotee that's there, and there's no envy of others. And that's one distinct characteristic between mamata in the material sense and mamata in the spiritual sense, because in the material sense, it becomes a source of envy. This is mine, but I wish that your thing was mine also. And we may try to even take it from one another like this. So where does this mamata fit in sort of the scheme of the advancement of devotional service? That's where we want to put it. Because I think that if we put it in that perspective, it gives us some idea of how great this quality is and why the possession of it makes Mother Yashoda glorified here by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. And why he's so amazed at the fact that that Mother Yashoda possesses it. So we can go back to something basic and try to start from there to place mamata in its proper perspective. So let's go back to the description of the different stages or steps in the process of devotional service described by Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Prabhupada has given us the following translation of the famous verse, Dao Shraddha Tata Saru Sangha. He says, in the beginning there must be faith. Then one becomes interested in associating with pure devotees. Thereafter, one is initiated by the spiritual master and executes the regulative principles under his orders. Thus, one is freed from all unwanted habits and becomes firmly fixed in devotional service. Thereafter, one develops taste and attachment. This is the way of sadhana bhakti, the execution of devotional service according to the regulative principles. Gradually, emotion intensifies, and finally there is an awakening of love. This is the gradual development of love of Godhead for the devotee interested in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we all know this verse and something about the various stages that it goes through here, but it's interesting. When I was reading this in preparation for the class, I got an understanding of this verse that I hadn't necessarily had previously. And it's based on some study of the nectar of devotion that I've been doing. As you know, our godbrother Banu Maharaj has done the translation of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, complete translation into Sanskrit, and he lectures on that book, Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And he, in the course of his discussion, he was saying that in the nectar of devotion, there are three types of bhakti that are described. There are three types of bhakti. There's sadhana bhakti, there's bhava bhakti, and then there's prema bhakti. These three types of bhakti are described. When I read this verse, again, in preparation for in class, all of a sudden I saw these three types of bhakti in this verse that I hadn't seen before. Sadhana bhakti being described, bhava bhakti being described, and prema bhakti being described. And it's important to understand the distinctions between the three, because that helps us to get back to understanding where mamata fits in this whole scheme of things. All the way up to all the stages here, Adau Shraddha, then Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nista, Ruchi, Asakti, all these are described as sadhana bhakti. And there's a sentence right in the translation here that says, after it gets up to that point, there's taste, and then there's attachment, a shakti. Then it says, this is the way of sadhana bhakti. So it cuts it off there. Those are sadhana bhakti. But there are others on the list still. What's on the list? Gradually emotions intensify. Bhava bhakti. Finally, there is an awakening of love, prema bhakti. So this verse breaks down the three types. And the distinction between the three is important. Sadhana bhakti is described here as devotional service according to regular principles. So that's the process of sadhana. And that's distinct from bhava and prema bhakti. Bhava bhakti isn't necessarily according to following regulative principles. Prabhupada gives a translation, gradually emotion intensifies. So there's some experience in bhava bhakti that's different from sadhana bhakti. And that experience is explained by Bhanu Maharaj in his study of Nectar Devotion and Bhakti Rasamrita. So it's described that at the stage of bhava bhakti, one has actual experience of Krishna. The Samvit and Ladini potencies enter the heart of the devotee and one has actual experience of Krishna. That's the difference between sadhana bhakti, where one is, let's say, described as in practice, doing devotional service in practice. Bhava bhakti, one actually has an experience with Krishna by his potencies, Samvit, knowledge, and Ladini, pleasure, manifesting in the heart of the devotee. So when these things manifest, it makes this distinction. But if the Lord is manifesting in the heart, why is there a distinction between bhava bhakti and prema bhakti? If one is already having a direct experience, a deep loving experience with Krishna and bhava bhakti, why then do we make the distinction between prema bhakti and bhava bhakti? Well, there are many different reasons, and I don't even intend to say that this is a comprehensive discussion of the whole subject matter, but at least we can get some idea. So, because we know from Srimad Bhagavatam that became a deer? Bart. So Bart Maharaj is describing Srimad Bhagavatam that he was on the stage of bhava bhakti. He was directly experiencing Krishna. But he fell from that platform. He fell from that platform. So one distinction between bhava bhakti and prema bhakti is that, again, explained by these words, gradually emotions intensify. So in the bhava bhakti, there may be still there's some chance of falling from the position. There's not the fully ripened and mature love of God that is represented by prema. And so therefore the acharyas, they make some distinction between bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. And what is that distinction? The distinction is mamata. That's the distinction. That's the bridge. When love of God moves from bhava to prema bhakti, it's because of this mamata developing, this possessiveness, this conception of feeling a relation to Krishna, that Krishna is mine. He has this feeling of possessiveness. Now, that is discussed in various places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, describing the different primary relationships with Krishna. And I just want to share some of that with you too here by reading a couple of verses. In Chechen Charitamrita Madhyalita 20, Madhyalita chapter 23, text 8, it says that when one develops an unflinching sense of ownership or possessiveness in relation to Lord Vishnu, or in other words, when one thinks Vishnu to be Vishnu and no one else to be the only object of love, such awakening is called bhakti, devotion by exalted persons like Bhishma, Prahlad, Uddhava, and Narada. In the Madhyalita chapter 8, text 71, which is one that just preceded these verses that we're reading today, and is almost in line with what the verse was supposed to be today. This is 71. You said it's supposed to be 72. It says that, and again, this is a discussion with you, Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya. Hearing up to the point of spontaneous Lord love, the Lord said, "That is all right, but if you know more, please tell me." In reply, Ramananda Roy said, "Spontaneous loving service and servitude as exchanged by master and servant is the highest perfection." And so in their discussion, when they came to the point of discussing the five types of loving relationships with Krishna, then Ramananda Roy described initially spontaneous loving service and servitude. And the significance of that statement to our discussion here today about mamata is described in the purport. Prabhupada says, "Spontaneous loving service to the Lord is called devotional service with an intimate attachment between the servitor and the served. This intimacy is called mamata. Between the servitor and the served, there is a feeling of oneness. This mamata begins with dasya prema, service rendered to the master by the servant. Unless there is such a relationship, the loving affairs between the Lord and his devotee are not actually fixed. When a devotee feels, 'The Lord is my master,' and renders service unto him, Krishna consciousness is awakened. This fixed consciousness is on a higher platform than simply cognizance of love of God." So we gave the example of Bharat Maharaj. He was experiencing bhava bhakti. But what happened? He wasn't fixed. He wasn't fixed. So Prabhupada's explaining here that in the stage of prema bhakti, one becomes fixed. There's no chance of falling down or departing from one's loving relationship with Krishna. And the difference is this mamata. The difference is this mamata, this feeling of possessiveness. And it's important to note that this feeling of mamata only begins at the dasya ras stage. Shanta ras, it doesn't exist. This feeling of possessiveness doesn't exist in shanta ras. Only beginning at dasya ras. So those that are feeling, the Lord is my master, I am his servant, they're feeling very possessive in this way. Or again, we progress to sakya ras. The Lord is my friend, we're equals. Therefore the cowherd boys climb on the shoulders of Krishna, Krishna climbs on the shoulders of the cowherd boys. They eat food from his mouth, and he eats food from their mouth, because they're equals. This is a vivid example of why Lord Brahma is given as an example in this verse that we were studying today as being subordinate, if you will, to Mother Yashoda. Because he was bewildered by that act. The boys taking food out of their mouth and offering it to Krishna and Krishna eating it. These specific interactions of mamata between Krishna and the cowherd boys is what bewildered Lord Brahma. How can that be? How can they do that? Obviously, Lord Brahma did not have such this feeling to the intense degree that those in the Sakyaras had. What to speak of Mother Yashoda, who's being described here today, who made Krishna afraid of her. She made Krishna afraid of her. Krishna, who is fear personified fears, he became afraid of Mother Yashoda because of this feeling of possessiveness that Krishna is my son. And so Mamata only begins at the Dasyarasya stage, and it develops one stage after another from there. In the Madhya Lila, chapter 19, where the Lord's instructing Śrīla Rūpa Gosvāmī, the following verse is found. According to the devotee, attachment falls into within the five categories of Shantarati, Dasharati, Shakyarati, Vatsayarati, and Madhuryarati. These five categories arise from a devotee's different attachments to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The transcendental mellows derived from devotional service are also of five varieties. In the purport, Prabhupada describes and quotes verses from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that says, only when one is completely free of all doubts and material attachment, he attains the neutral position called Shanta. So it's a transcendental position. But Shanta realization of Krishna in a neutral stage between the conception of conceptions of impersonalism and personalism. This means that one is not very strongly attached to the personal feature of the Lord. An appreciation of the greatness of the Lord is called Shantarati. This attachment is not to the personal feature, but to the impersonal feature. Generally, one in this stage is attached to the Paramatma feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So beginning with Dasya, this is the progression. So that on that basis, this discussion moves forward to higher considerations. And we know that Prema Bhakti also has different degrees as it develops. But the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy really takes a turn toward the ultimate goal of the discussion, when this discussion of Dasya Ras, Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Ras, and Madhurya Ras with Mamata is described. Therefore, it's such an important subject matter, and why it's an amazing to Sukadeva Goswami, and he points this out when he's describing Krishna's pastimes to Maharaj Pariksit. So are there any comments or questions about this? Mahatma Prabhu.
I will direct this question to the topic of Mamata, but I think it also is a more broader, a more general topic. You could decide how you want to address it. I was thinking that sometimes a devotee is very attached to their deity. So it's my Krishna. This is, you know, they think that way. Or, you know, or some devotees are very attached to chanting the holy name, and they feel kind of like this is my Krishna coming in the holy name. So the question is, how does a devotee, if it is in fact a realization that is meant to be experienced or understood or had at a higher level, when one's having it at a lower level, one might think, oh, I heard class today, so I'm, you know, this is bogus. I shouldn't be thinking like this. You know, I'm having these feelings. I've had these feelings for years, but now I thought maybe I'm just, you know, this is artificial. So how does one deal with feelings which are supposed to be shastrically told, we're told there are feelings of higher Vaishnavas, but I seem to be having them now. How do I just turn them off, or do I take them as seeds of the, and they're not fully manifest, or is it, and if I feel it very strongly, do I try to curtail it, or?
Well, thank you for the question. Our goal is to become attached to Krishna, to become mad after Krishna. And that's a goal that we pursue from the first day that we come into the temple. And so once that mamata starts developing, and it is experience, as I said, even that's felt materially, we're thinking, this is mine, that possessiveness. So we know the term dovetailing. So that feeling, that ability to be possessive, as soon as we come into Krishna consciousness, even at the beginning stages, we need to turn that and dovetail that to the service of Krishna. And that will help us advance as we become more and more attached to Krishna. Particularly when we start thinking in those terms about our service or our particular relation to our deities, our own deities. Say we have our own deities or the temple deities. I mean, we're very attached. We go anywhere in the world, you know, and you know, we see, oh, you have a picture of Shri Radhashyam Sundar here. And that's the Lachua Radhashyam Sundar. You know, that's the Lachua Krishna Balaram. We have some attachment based on our service. That will develop. Because all these things are based on service. Krishna is my friend. The cowherd boys are thinking like that. Well, they're serving Krishna in that way. Krishna is my son, Mother Yashoda is thinking. Well, she serves Krishna, not just that it's possession for possession's sake, but it's a matter of service. So as we serve, even in the beginning stages, we're meant to develop attachment to Krishna, to be attached to Krishna. And to come to the stage, ultimately, of being like and following in the steps, footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, in their attachment to Krishna. So it's not something to be discouraged or thinking that, oh, I'm doing something wrong because I have attachment to a particular service or a particular deity. That's to be encouraged. It is part of our advancement in Krishna consciousness. Although it's obviously going to be something that's at a lesser degree than the examples that we see of those in Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. Those exhibitions of mamata are to be aspired for, even in beginning stage, but not imitated in earlier stages. Yes?
First you mentioned this eighth stage, or whatever, you know, ado, shraddha, tata, sadhana, and then it cuts off at sadhana. But in that verse, it says, sadakanam ayam premna parabhavet bhavet krama. The bhava comes before the word sadak. It seems to be in the same category with the first things, adosha sadasang, tato sadasanga, the vajana kriya, tato nartana vidisha, tato nishta vichishta, tato bhava. Then it says, sadakanam ayam premna. Then the word comes, then prem. So it seems like bhava's in the other category, technically pointing to that particular verse. So I don't know if that's what was being said by Banu or something else.
Well, in the translation that's here from Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the translation, it stops at asakti, attachment. And then it says, this is the way of sadhana bhakti, execution of devotional service according to regular principles. Then the next sentence is, gradually emotions intensify.
Yeah. That's it's the cut off word, then frame would be bhava, the word bhava comes before.
I have something to say about this. I've heard from different devotees the word bhava sadhana. One very, very scholarly devotee. And a further explanation that this devotee gave was the gopis who weren't yet perfected. The Krishna called them, they couldn't get out to the rasa dance. He said, so they still had to go further to prema. So his explanation was like this. Bhava is still a sadhana because prema is the perfection. So bhava is just, it's not perfection yet. And that if you achieve prema, you go straight to Krishna Loka, but on bhava, because we achieve bhava generally, we achieve bhava in this life, in this body, then we go to Krishna Leela and we become purified. So the gopis still had more to go. And so they didn't go the first time, they became purified, achieved prema, and then they. So that was his explanation. So,
Well, there's still a distinction in that explanation between sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. The type of sadhana that is exhibited in bhava being different than the type of sadhana that's just according to regular principles. So the three categories are still there.
But if you're on the path of bhakti, it's all regular principles. It's still going
to
be.
But bhakti takes you up to the stage of bhava, and then when you go to the, at least according to, as, and I'm not saying I have a complete understanding, but at least according to my study and what I've heard, is that both bhakti and raganuga are sadhanas, and they've come, and by either one you can go, you get to bhava, and then from bhava you advance further to prema.
But if you go through bhakti, you stay, you go to Vaikuntha, you go through raganuga, so you're still, even in Vaikuntha the rules, you're still doing, it's all rules.
Well, therefore these discussions of bhava and ultimately prema are focused specifically, this is a discussion between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy, specifically on achieving Golok Vrindavan.
Yes.
Any other questions?
I was just thinking in relation to Mahatma Prabhu's question when he first asked the first question. My reaction was, it's not intellectual. It's not like someone who's feeling love of Krishna is thinking, should I feel that way or shouldn't I feel that way? Is it okay? Well, what should he think? Well, should he think it's okay or should he think it's not okay? And as long as he's thinking, it's not reached its perfection because it's not on the level of intellectual. If it affects, if you look at it from an analytical point of view, you're looking at how it affects one's devotional service. Mother Jasoda looked in Krishna's mouth, saw the universal form. Krishna thought, this is going to affect her service to me. She's not going to be able to be my mom anymore. Forget about it. So she forgot about it. But it's not an intellectual, when we think about bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, we analyze it and we look at it and we try to figure out the category. But when we experience it, when it's something we're going through, it's not like you think, well, how should I think about this or how should I look at this? It's not an intellectual process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. I think, are you?
I forgot my question.
Don't worry, it's due to bhava that you forgot your question.
Tell me a little bit about vaidhi and raganuga, because my understanding was always that if we, by following the principles, the rules and regulations that Prabhupada has given us, that gradually will develop some more and more and more of an attachment to where it becomes spontaneous. Now, you mentioned in your class that spontaneity was on the bhava platform, so now I'm all confused.
Did I say that? I don't know if I said that.
No, you did.
Did I? Well, vaidhi and raganuga bhakti are both sadhana.
Right.
Bhakti.
Right.
Now, there are probably differing opinions also on this, but according to my understanding and what I've heard, it's not necessary that one progress from vaidhi to raganuga, then to bhava. One can go right to bhava from vaidhi, sadhana.
Right.
And so, yes, by practicing devotional service according to rules and regulations of vaidhi bhakti, one can develop attachment and love and bhava, actual feelings of love for Krishna. One does not necessarily have to follow or go through the raganuga bhakti practices. So just by following, we can gradually develop love and affection for Krishna in our heart.
That platform that we're speaking on, would that be called steadiness, fixed?
Well, there are different stages given in the Siddhāvaśaṭa verse, which are, after an arta-nivṛtti, one becomes firmly fixed.
Right.
Which is nistha. Right. Then one develops a taste,
okay,
ruchi.
Let me approach this from another angle. When we're in the middle of a kirtan, a real cooking kirtan, we're jumping up and down like madmen, we're getting some sort of a taste.
Yes.
Now, but that's not, kirtan ends, we all go out and have prasadam, we sit and we talk, and we go home, and yada, 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 you mogul on, whatever. Not the same taste.
Not the same taste maybe for me. I don't know about you, but maybe not the same taste for me, but for those who have a higher taste, it's not like it ends when the kirtan ends.
Okay.
You know, their performance of devotional service goes from one service to the next, sort of like in continuous ecstasy, you know.
So like Mother Akuti.
Huh? Like Mother Akuti. But, I mean, as described by in Madhurya Kandambini, we go through different stages as we practice sadhana bhakti, and sometimes we're enthusiastic, sometimes we're not. Sometimes we have a taste, sometimes we don't. Those are symptomatic of the initial stages of engagement in devotional service. And so it's an encouragement to us, given by Śrīla Viśvanātha Chakravarti Thakura, that by describing all these different stages, he can tell us, you're on the path. If you're experiencing this, you are on the path. Just continue on the path. You know, like I said, you know, something's bothering you, just don't worry about it. Just keep going. It'll go away or something. So execution of devotional service in initial stages is like that. You know, we feel that. But then we get to the point where we go from one engagement to the next, and the same level of enthusiasm and love and attachment to Krishna is manifest, whatever it may be. We don't make distinctions between this type of service giving me happiness and that type doesn't. You know, if you're a devotee, they'll do anything. And it's not even that those in bhava and prema, they don't do these activities also. They also do the same activities. You know, it's not like they give up these activities and now they're doing something different.
Right, okay. All right, thank you.
I don't know what you want to say, last question, her or him, because either way they're going to get on my case.
For somebody, I'm speaking for myself, can't understand any of the sadhana, bhaivi, raganuga, bhava, prema, any. I'm wondering, how much do we need to understand these terminologies? How do the understanding of this on a theoretical level helps us in our Krishna consciousness?
Well, Prabhupada gave us these books. I mean, if you look at the Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada, when he was in India before coming to America, he was translating verse by verse, the word for word, and publishing in Bhakti Guided magazine, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then in 1970, the Nectar of Devotion was published in 1970. So he gave us these books. He wants us to read them. He wants us to study them. And when you read them, that's all I hope that is being conveyed here in this class today. Not just some working knowledge of terms and how things fit and everything, not, you know, the experience or that, you know, this is bhava bhakti, I'm experiencing it and I'm trying to give it to you. No, I'm just trying to help us place all these things, you know, on a spectrum so we can see them and begin to understand them. Because that's what the books are about. I mean, that's what the Nectar Devotion is about. It describes these things. And so, yeah, we should at least, you know them, and not, again, not that we think that we're bhava bhaktas or prema bhaktis, you know, we're just trying to understand the scheme which is laid out for us, and that we try to gradually, you know, develop as over the course of our execution of devotional service. So yeah, we should try to understand the terms and everything, but not think that oh, I'm experiencing this and that. That's a different thing. Huh?
Okay. Just what you were reading, you had stopped at Ruchi, and the way Prabhupada had translated it in the purport in the Bhagavad Gita, he uses that verse. He says, "This taste will lead one further forward."
Mm-hmm.
So I took that as and held on to that point for a while, that the taste will lead you.
Mm-hmm.
Before then, it was other things were leading, but he says at this point, the taste will lead you to attachment, and then attachment develops into bhava. So I just thought it would be interesting to point that out, that what you're being led by is your taste.
Yeah, and I think that what that says is that these divisions, sadhana, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti, coming from being motivated from a different place. But as Malakshmi Moni said, it's not like academic, this, that. It's more, the lines are softer. But led by taste means that you're not led by the rules and regulations, you know, following the rules and regulations, but you're led by taste. And so that's the gradual progression from sadhana bhakti to prema.
On that same point, I was. What happens with me sometimes is I get analytical. So I was. I read a couple of verses about that where Krishna says that's not. Yeah, you can use it for a handle for the axe, but by the axe you cut down the tree of analytical. You go past that. So I've noticed that on the Bhagavatam, the third verse, it doesn't say analyze the Bhagavatam. It says relish the Srimad Bhagavatam. So taste, relish, all these things that are similar.
Hare Krishna. It's interesting discussion because a few weeks ago I had a very lengthy discussion with a very learned devotee who studied Raghunuga Bhakti for 20 years. Who knows? Way more than most of us. And then I took what I already understood most of what he said, but he clarified it. Specifically, I think in the discussion, what's lacking is the definition of what Raghunuga Bhakti is. Because if you're trying to discuss it and you don't define it, it gets cloudy. So he was forcing me, he said, define it, then we can discuss it. If you don't. So then I spoke to Ridhananda Maharaj about what this devotee said. And he had another position, which is more like what you're saying. You just, you know, follow bhakti, it'll come, whether you understand it or not. So just yesterday I saw on Facebook, you can look, Ridhananda was asked this question, basically what you asked, in a different way. And it's on Facebook, and he answers his understanding of Raghunuga Bhakti. So then I sent it back to that other devotee, who completely disagreed, not entirely, but a lot. And so it brought up the question, it had this question is going in my mind, because if you actually study Raghunuga Bhakti, you have to study other books because it's a practice, and the practice is not detailed in Prabhupada's books, but the general idea is there. You conceive of yourself in a particular relationship, and then you follow someone in that relationship, and you have this desire to be in that relationship. But the practice is described more in Jiva Dharma and in Raghavart Machandrika by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It's an actual practice. So then if you read those books, then you get So then my question to myself was, but Prabhupada didn't give us that book. So if you don't read that book, you don't know the details of the practice. So how much of the practice can you do? So in my mind I was, you know, if we just follow Prabhupada, what he gave, will it all come, be revealed? Or do you actually have to do the practice? So Ridayananda Maharaj was on the side and just follow Prabhupada. And spontaneous devotional service will come naturally. But he defined it differently than the other devotee who defined spontaneous devotional service as it's described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you go to Nectar Devotion, the spontaneous devotional service is described a little differently. It doesn't talk about following the residence of Vrindavan. That's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's very clear. Although there is one verse in Nectar Devotion that talks about Siddha Rupena, in your perfected body, you seva, you serve here, seva, in your perfected body, you conceive or you have a strong desire to be, let's say, a coward boy, and then you're following some coward boy that you're attracted to. That's the practice. So that's where the discussion, at least in my mind, has taken me. How, you know, is it, you know, by following Prabhupada? Because Prabhupada didn't give all the details how to do it, which makes me think, okay, you have to go to another book if you want to know the details. You want to actually practice it. Then this devotee said, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, if you don't practice Raghunuga Bhakti, then you go to Dwarka in Goloka. There's a Dwarka where Radha and Krishna are married. You have to practice Raghunuga Bhakti to go to Braj. And then I told that to Ridayananda Maharaj. He said, well, that's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Is that for us now, today? So this is how it was going. And this other devotee, he knows the entire practice of Raghunuga Bhakti, how it's done. It identified exactly what the practice is. And his point was, when you have these discussions, if you don't know that, then it's like, he's a disciple of Lokanath Maharaj. But he's very learned. So anyway, it's interesting we're having this discussion. Because then I had a dream, and in the dream a voice came and said, you just surrender and everything will be revealed.
So we'll end there with surrender.
On that last point, the Prabhupada didn't give the details in his books, but he does say in many places, well, in one particular place he says, a serious student of the Bhagavatam will study all the works of the Goswamis and the commentators alike, and he gave a few names. And in various places he says, you must read this book, Bhagavad-gita, Jiva Dharma, and you know, in different places he said to read books that he did not write. So that is also his instruction for us to go further. And I've also heard that what we're practicing, the kind of Vaidhi Bhakti we're practicing that is going to lead us to Goloka Vrindavan, it should be a Vaidhi Bhakti with an aim to move towards Raghunuga, just so like we're aiming in the right direction with our regulative practices.
Okay.
Just this morning after Mangarti, we read where Lord Chaitanya was saying, Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam, Kaloa Nasteva, 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 Gatya. Everything is in the holy name if you chant without offenses.
Okay, surrender and the holy name. We can end there. Hare Krishna.